Yeah, delighted to be on the show. Thanks, Mark.
Could you first of all maybe explain for listeners who may not be familiar what exactly the Freight Transport Association of Ireland is, who its members are maybe, and what your mission is?
Well, FTA Ireland are a multimodal representative trade association. We also provide expert training, consultancy and standards such as truck safe and so on. We have a broad church membership in the haulage and own goods distribution sector, as well as coach and bus and van fleets. And we're also engaged in work with members in terms of global trade supply lines and for both from an aviation and maritime sector as well. So we cover all elements of logistics and supply chain.
Excellent. And obviously the reason we're talking, you've published a report. Now, this is dealing specifically with road freight, though. It's decarbonising the road freight sector in Ireland.
Yeah.
Could you tell us how much of a challenge that this represents for the industry as things stand currently?
Well, I think unless we've our heads buried in the sand, we know there's issues with the climate, and it's certainly the issue for the next good number of years for our members, particularly those operate well across all aspects of the economy, but we're focusing particularly in terms of distribution of goods by road with the publication of our decarbonising road freight sector. With our partners, Inverenergy, SSE, Gas Networks Ireland and Air Products. And one of the main objectives of the report really is to highlight the unique circumstances for the freight distribution sector, differentiated from general transport, and highlight solutions available to help operators decarbonise. And another key objective is that there is more than one decarbonisation solution for the road freight sector, because sometimes when we think of decarbonisation, we think of transformational change, we think of costs, we think of infrastructure, we think of all the challenges, and creates quite a bit of anxiety from a business perspective is how are we going to afford all of this? And we think this report hopefully sets the scene in terms of identifies why we're having to change from a European and national legislative perspective, but also develop a roadmap that can help organisations who are operating commercial fleets start thinking about the future and start mapping it into their business strategies and vehicle replacement strategies, and also hopefully giving a few tips that they can start incrementally impacting their carbon footprint whilst they're looking to transition to alternatively fueled vehicles.
And when you talk about the difference between the commercial vehicle, the road freight sector, and the private transport sector, I suppose it's not about changing habits with the sector, because it's not something you can pause exactly and wait for the perfect solution. There's goods and that needs to be transported every day.
Yeah, we're essential for the Irish economy, and I suppose perceptions influence beliefs, and another part of what we're trying to do is create an understanding of why we have to drive trucks, and why there is, in fairness, a reliance on diesel, and why we are really important for every aspect of the supply chain. When we look at this particular report and the focus on it, there's around 43,000 heavy goods vehicles. Those are vehicles over 3.5 ton. That's the size of the national fleet. And that's split evenly, I suppose, between those operating haulage operations and those operating own account, i.e. distribution of their own goods. So they could be in the retail sector, agri-food sector, waste sector, local authorities and so on. So we're looking at this as a whole of fleet challenge. So it's the same in the own account sector as it is for the haulage guys. But, transport in total represents around 38% of greenhouse gas emissions in Ireland, and our commercial fleet represents 18%, of the total greenhouse gas, and the heavy goods fleet represent 38% of that. So we know that we have a challenge, and we know that we're contributors, but we are responsible and we do have an ambition to change. And I suppose that's what's been mapped out here within this report, because essentially we've got four competing energy suppliers in terms of Inver, who are looking to supply HVO, SSE, have an electrical solution, products look at hydrogen, and Gas Networks Ireland are looking at CNG and biomethane. So if we work collaboratively and in a coordinated fashion, we can provide solutions to help organisations decarbonise, as I said, in a cost-effective manner.
And is that essentially, I suppose, tailoring the response depending on what kind of fleet business that you have, or depending on what your needs are yourselves?
Yeah, I think, it's definitely down. As a start, you need to look at what you're doing, how you're doing it, because even when you're beginning to go for tenders now, there's going to be questions in relation to what are you doing to reduce emissions. And in fact, included in the report and kind of prominent in decarbonisation strategy is avoid, shift, improve, you know. So eco-driver training, for argument's sake, is a start. Being able to track and trace how you manage your fuel reductions. Lots of things that perhaps organisations are doing already, but they may not necessarily have had the systems or documented correctly. Now they become very, very important, because everything you're doing to reduce your fuel burn ultimately impacts your bottom line. So there's a benefit from a profitability perspective, but there's also a benefit in terms of carbon reduction. So there are things that you can actually do straight away. And then when you're looking at your replacement of vehicles, because the average age of vehicles, trucks in this country, is getting older. It's over 6 years now. So when you're looking at your replacement of vehicles, just start researching what alternative vehicles are available. So you may start and consider, HVO. It's a bit more expensive than diesel, for instance, but that's a drop in fuel for a diesel engine. But now we've got biomethane coming into the grid, which is 100% better than diesel in terms of reduction of emissions. And, that's a viable solution now when you're looking at total cost of ownership of vehicles. Electrification is a bit more expensive, but it's there, it's available, and there are electric vehicles coming onto the grid, but the infrastructure has to be developed. And that then transmits itself and moves on into hydrogen into the future. So it is building that roadmap, but the advice from ourselves is really look at the type of business you're doing, work with your partners, your clients, your customers, they're thinking about this, and then seeing what's right for your business, because there are different solutions.
And are there grants, etc., available the same way that if you own a private electric car, you get discounts for home charger, that kind of thing? Are those kind of grants available for businesses? Is the state helping out in that way?
Yeah, and in fairness, we were delighted a number of years ago. There was an alternative fuel grant established. Now COVID got in the way of its effectiveness, but it incorporated and helped organisations buy gas trucks, for instance. Unfortunately, gas vehicles do no longer qualify for what's known as the Zero Emission Vehicle Grant, which is run through TII, and it's available. Information on that is available on the TII website. Organised by the Zero Emission Vehicle, ZEVI, that body, the government body, where there is grants available for argument's sake buying an electric vehicle, up to 60% of the price differential between an equivalent diesel vehicle. So there is grants, but we think more should be done. We need to review our taxation. We need to consider that the average size haulage companies averages around 6 trucks. We need to make incentives available and encourage more of the small to medium-sized businesses to be able to transition. So they're kind of key messages, key takeaways from our report that was published this week.
And how was the response from, I know James Lawless, the Minister of State for Transport, Environment and Climate Action, seemed to respond positively to this report. How has the response been generally from government?
I think we have to be very pragmatic and realistic here. This is all new to everybody. And while it's happening at a pace, the Climate Action Plan 2023 was the first publicly published document that referenced freight or put freight as a separate sector. So it is very, very new. There's a lot of demand from a consultation perspective, engagement perspective, committee perspective, and we're delighted as a trade association for the freight distribution and logistics sector that we're invited or participate in all these committees. But government officials are learning as they're going along, and we take the view that we work together. We work very well together, and they're very open to listening to us, but we do need to continue to build trust and transparency, and we need an all-of-government approach, a national approach. Ireland has unique circumstances compared to the European Union, which is driving the agenda in some respects with this. We're an island nation on the periphery of Europe. We've East Coast urban-centric population, but a diverse population around the rest of the country that needs to be serviced in an efficient and effective way. And we need to look at that from a strategic perspective and say to the European Union that the transport policy doesn't easily transpose itself to Ireland. We don't have inland waterways, for instance, that would support freight movements. The rail network isn't really established enough to move a lot of freight onto rail overnight, albeit there are opportunities for development, particularly connecting key ports like Shannon Foynes and Cork and Waterford and Rosslare and Dublin and so on together. But there is a lot of work to be done in relation to that. But it's not. It just doesn't sit with the Department of Transport from our perspective. It needs to have total engagement and support and understanding by all other key government departments. The main thing for us is that this is a positive report, Mark. We're saying that industry has ambition to change. We are looking for recognition. We do not want to be vilified as an industry that requires to use diesel or trucks or whatever, but we are willing to change, and that ambition to change needs to be matched by government, because as I said, there's quite a bit of work to be doing in terms of developing the infrastructure and listening to the experts in industry and deliver pragmatic solutions. I think that's the main thing for us. And of course, you can download the report off our website, www.ftai.ie.
And that would be helpful for any businesses who are wondering how maybe get started on the small few tips that you were saying there as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, listen, Aidan, thanks very much for that. Appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, lovely to talk to you. Anytime, Mark.